Okay, now we'll get started. Make sure we pray for Pastor Matt and his family as they are ill, and we just keep praying for them to recover. I do enjoy covering, but I prefer when he's on vacation or doing something enjoyable compared to being homesick with four kids and a wife that I think is sick too. So we just pray for them. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time and this day to hear your word, and we just pray that the words spoken would be honoring to you, and we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you bestow. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, the last time I preached, filling in for Pastor Matt, I preached out of Philemon. That was only 5 months ago, so I'm sure you all remember. I previously covered the first three verses of the book, message, focusing on two ideas shared in the book of Philemon: being a slave or a prisoner of Christ, and receiving grace from God. I want to start once again with a quick review of Philemon, included from the ESV Study Bible. Philemon is about the reconciliation and relationships between Christians. Onesimus, which means useful, was a slave of a believer named Philemon in Colossae. Apparently, Onesimus had stolen from Philemon and fled. At some time, while Paul was under arrest, Onesimus met him and became a Christian. Paul apparently wrote this letter at the same time as Colossians, and gave it to Onesimus to carry back to Philemon. Paul appealed to Philemon to accept Onesimus back into the household, but as a brother in the Lord rather than a slave. In Paul's estimation, Onesimus was far more useful now that he was a Christian. Paul even promised to pay whatever debt Onesimus might owe Philemon. As I mentioned in my earlier message, Philemon can be broken down into five segments. First, the introductory greeting, which was covered. The greeting focused on Christians being free from slavery to sin, yet bound to Christ above as a slave. This relationship is beyond compare. Think about it. The one that owns you, much like a slave, gave up his life and endured suffering that we can't imagine for you, his slave. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were Christ's enemies, yet he gave his life for us. I know men often feel like they would give their life for their spouse, their child, or a close loved one. But I don't know many that would act to save someone that would be equal to their slave. Think of it, a slave that is receiving grace from the Lord Jesus Christ is blessed beyond measure. You are blessed beyond measure and need to remember that day to day. The second segment includes the verses on sharing thanksgiving and prayer. Paul is thankful for the love and faith that Philemon has shared. Paul is praying for Philemon and his fellow believers. We will be looking at that passage closely today. In the third section, Paul's request for grace to be given to Philemon. Paul talks about having the authority to command, yet is appealing as a friend and a fellow believer for Philemon to show grace and mercy to Onesimus. The fourth segment, Paul shares that he intends to visit if it is in God's will. In the final segment, Paul closes with greetings and blessings in verses 23 through 25. In my message on verses 1 through 3 of Philemon, the idea previously shared was that the term servant used here could be translated slave. In fact, many times in the Bible, that term servant is used where the word slave could be used. While the term slave frequently has negative connotations, we need to remember that we are either a slave of sin or a slave of Christ. Christians, while slaves to Christ, are the freest people on earth. We are free from the burden of sin. Think about that a moment. When living a Christ-like life, we experience joy and peace that only Jesus can give. As we grow closer to Jesus, the idea of sinning against our gracious Lord and Savior should be so repulsive that it is impossible for us to actually act on our sinful desires. We should even recoil when we think of sin. Remember, you are either a prisoner of Christ or a slave to sin. If you haven't accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you are a slave to sin and will receive the payment due to sin, which is death. If you repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have much to be thankful for. Which brings us to today's message on Philemon 1, 4 through 7. For Philemon and the other believers there, and Paul is thankful for their faith and love. Take a moment and turn to Philemon 1, 4 through 7. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Paul starts out this section sharing that he remembers Philemon in prayer and thanks God when he does. He is praying earnestly and fervently for fellow believers, with Philemon being among them. How often do you pray for fellow believers? How often do you truly believe in the power of prayer? I would like to share this illustration about prayer. A tale is told about a small town that had historically been dry, but then a local businessman decided to build a tavern. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly thereafter, lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated, "No matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians don't." That was J.K. Johnson, Why Christians Sin. Do you find yourself sometimes acting more like the Christians in the illustration. I don't believe that Paul had that attitude that Christians in the illustration had. Paul knows the importance and value of prayer. Paul is grateful when he hears of Philemon's love and faith displayed to all believers. Paul knows Philemon values his walk with Jesus Christ. Paul is praying for Philemon like we are told to in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The power of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Receiving this letter, I'm sure Philemon was encouraged to know that Paul was praying for him. Paul was giving thanks to God for Philemon. When you pray, do you regularly give thanks to God for your loved ones? Or do we often take them for granted? I have been blessed to have a family that was loving and kind to me. As members of my family have gone to be with the Lord, I realize how often I took them for granted. Think about your loved ones and fellow believers each time you pray. Don't just pray for their needs, but praise God for giving them to you. While I understand that many people don't have the positive experience with family members or even other believers that I have been blessed with, remember to thank the Lord for them. Because if you are following Christ today, they helped get you to this point. In my case, loving parents demonstrated the love of God to me regularly. Even though my father turned to Christ later in life, his example in my youth was still Christ-like. He showed love and compassion to others. He taught me that honesty was so important. He was beyond reproach, as we are told to be in Scripture. I remember one of his customers saying, "Your dad isn't always the cheapest, but I know he'll do it right." My mother, on the other hand, was a follower of Christ for as long as I can remember. As I grew up, I realized she had some interesting theology, but I always knew her heart was with the Lord. My mom was known as Pinky, and I used to joke that she had the PIV, or Pinky International version of the Bible. While we would disagree on some theological issues, her example reminds me you don't have to have all the answers to follow Christ. You just have to believe and repent and trust in the Lord. In addition to a positive family life, I have been blessed with a church family that have been supportive to my wife and I. Families that helped us raise our children and helped us grow in faith. Maybe you had a similar experience, or maybe you had a completely different experience. Maybe you had an abusive parent that God used to direct you to Christ. It could have been the pain and hurt they caused that led you to look for the ultimate answer. I am not justifying their behavior or saying it wasn't horrible what happened to you, but being a follower of Christ is worth anything that we endure. Remember the story of Joseph. He endured great hardship because of his brother's actions. But Joseph himself stated in Genesis 50, 20, For you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good. Bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Maybe you experienced a church hypocrite that led you to study Christianity to prove it was wrong. Like the author Lee Strobel, who wrote the book A Case for Christ. He was an atheist that, when his wife became a believer, set out to disprove Christianity. He is now a Christian author and following the Lord. Think of the times people have prayed for you and how they helped you through difficult times. How valuable was a card or a handwritten note that you were being prayed for by another Christian. I remember my brother on my mother's 80th birthday handing out birthday cards with pre-addressed stamped envelopes to people to mail her happy birthday wishes. Among those wishes were mentions of people praying for her, people she had never met, people that never knew her. If simple birthday cards can make a difference in how a person feels, think of what prayers from believers can do. Do you regularly pray for fellow believers? Do you let them know you are praying for them? Do you give thanks to God for the service to others that fellow believers provide? Do you pray regularly for those that serve quietly without very many people knowing? Do you pray for all people to come to Christ and grow in their walk with Him? Do we pray like it is shared in Philippians 1, 9 through 11? And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Do we do more than just pray for the problems of our loved ones and fellow believers? Do we consistently pray that our family, friends, fellow believers, and even our enemies are blessed? Do we pray that our friends, family, and fellow believers will grow in their faith? Do we pray for those that are unbelievers and enemies of Christ, that they would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Praying for enemies is difficult, isn't it? Praying for people that are doing despicable things almost seems wrong, doesn't it? Scripture, however, tells us to pray for our enemies. You have heard it said that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on evil and on good, and sends rain on the just and unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:43-48. How often do you pray for those who attack the Christian way of life? How often do you pray for those that mock your faith and treat prayer and faith as things that only weak-minded participate in? How often do you ask the Lord to bless those who curse you? Turn to Luke 6:27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Romans 12:14-21 says the following. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, some of you are probably liking the part that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Don't we all want this at different times? When we are mistreated, isn't our first thought, we want to get revenge and right the wrong done to us? We might even recall that scripture and back scripture and feel justified in our thoughts, forgetting that the verse continues, says the Lord will right every wrong. Doesn't say we will. If you are a little convicted right now, remember to pray for those that are lost. Some of you might have feelings like I have in the past, wanting those that are being sinful to get their deserved punishment. Some may be thinking, there are verses in the Bible like Psalm 5:10. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. Or Psalm 79:6-7. Pour out your anger upon the nations that you do not know, that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call upon your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. But remember the story of Jonah. He didn't want to preach to his enemies. He even went so far as to go in the opposite direction to avoid going to Nineveh. Jonah admitted he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew God would save them. The people of Nineveh deserved to be punished. They were enemies of Jonah and his family. In Jonah 4, 1 through 3, it is clear how he felt. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah wasn't happy, was he? Don't we frequently feel like Jonah? Don't we think that those that are so sinful, they should receive justice? They are acting directly against the commands of God, and they should receive their punishment for their sins. While wanting justice sounds good, we often decide we don't want to face justice. We want grace. But still, those Old Testament verses have a certain appeal. But even the Old Testament talks about God's grace to sinners. Proverbs 24, 17 through 18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased, and turn away his anger from him. We are to be praying for others. We are to be grateful for other believers. We are to serve and bless both believers and non-believers. We are to be like Paul. Paul gives thanks regularly for fellow believers. Paul prayed for fellow believers often. Paul praised God for the service believers were doing. This message focused on praying and being grateful. Let's remember Paul's concluding statement for the verses covered today. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Remember to praise God through prayer and give him thanks for all he does. As we close, let's pray and thank God for all the things he has done and all the people he has brought into our lives. Dear Lord, we thank you that your word teaches us to be loving and kind. And we pray that you would help us realize that we were nothing but sinners against you ourselves until you graciously gave us salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us to always remember we are no better than any other person. We deserve punishment, but we accept your grace, your love to us through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We thank you so much, Lord, that you sent your Son to pay for our sins, to allow us to have eternal life with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.